Hello and welcome back to the Politics Unboxed podcast. My name is Reese, and today we're going to be moving on to an episode of Elections in the UK because, yep, there is a by-election actually tomorrow on the 17th of June. It's going to be happening in Chesham and Amersham. So that is something to be keeping an eye on. I'm going to go through the main candidates and then we'll be having a look at where they stand on the key issues in this election and what we might be looking for. So, all that's to come on this episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. So yes, we are one day away now from the Chesham and Amersham by-election, which is the 17th of June, which was triggered, sadly, by the death of Dame Cheryl Gillan, Conservative MP. She died on the 4th of April after a long illness, and she'd been the Tory MP for Chesham and Amersham since 1992. And this has sent various campaigns into a sort of overdrive. We saw up in Hartlepool how important a by-election can be. We saw the red wall broken up again. Now this is looking like it could be a situation where the blue wall, the Conservative heartland, could be in jeopardy. And if we're talking about comparison between a blue wall and a red wall, this is fairly blue wall. It's been a seat, Chesham and Amersham, within Buckinghamshire for 47 years. It was created in 1974 and has only had two MPs, both Conservative. Ian Gilmore served from 1974 to 92, and then Dame Cheryl Gillan from 92 through to her death in April of this year. It is a fairly blue area as well. Not only did Dame Cheryl Gillan manage to pick up a majority of more than 16,000 in the 2019 general election, the Buckinghamshire Unitary Authority elections, the first of that particular type of government in Buckinghamshire, which were the local council elections on, when was it, May the 6th, I think, resulted in a stonking great majority for the Conservatives at that level, ending up with 113 out of the 147 seats available. So this is, this is a blue area. It's not quite as filled with potential avenues of approach for opposition parties as Hartlepool was, because we know that the Tees Valley area where Hartlepool was in had a Conservative mayor, Ben Houchen, and there was decent Conservative representation on the local council. But this is still going to be a target seat for opposition parties, and potentially we could see the trend returning that governments don't do too well in defending their seats in by-elections. So who is the big target then? Who's going after this seat? Well, there are plenty of candidates. We have Caroline Culver from the Green Party, Brendan Donnelly from the Rejoin EU Party, Peter Fleet is going to represent the Conservatives, Sarah Green for the Liberal Democrats, Carla Gregory for the Breakthrough Party, see more about that in a bit, Adrian Oliver for the Freedom Alliance, Natasa Pantelic for Labour, I'm probably butchering that name, and Alex Wilson for Reform UK. And we'll go through some of their key policies in a bit, but the main party targeting this seat, other than of course the Conservative Party to hold it, are the Liberal Democrats. And if you've been tuned into some of the news around this, although I admit that there hasn't been too much noise coming out from Chesham and Amersham, really haven't been focusing on this by-election at all in the media. And I mean, the fact that I'm only doing my first real podcast on this the day before the election says I've sort of overlooked it as well. There have been other things on the agenda. But the Liberal Democrats look like they are pushing quite hard in this seat. There have been numbers of sort of young Liberal Democrats and other people flooding in to Chesham and Amersham to try and get on door-knocking campaigns. There have been phone bank calls. They are pushing hard, and the polls suggest that they are closing. Now, in 2019, for the general election, the Liberal Democrats managed to increase their vote share by 13%, and they are the second largest party in Buckinghamshire Council, or Buckinghamshire Unitary Authority, which isn't exactly saying much because they only have 15 seats compared to the Tories' 113, but they are still the second largest party in the area. Independents have more seats than them, but they are not obviously a party. They fight on independent issues. So what are they going to have to be saying in order to win this seat? Well, the biggest issue is the HS2 project, because this goes straight through the Garden of England, as it has been called, and right through Chesham and Amersham as a constituency. And despite the government being in favour of HS2 on the whole, the former Conservative MP, Dame Cheryl Gillan, spent years campaigning against HS2. That high-speed rail line to connect London Euston to the Midlands and then on up to Manchester and Liverpool and then potentially an HS3 on to Edinburgh. But I guess let's not talk about HS3 when HS2 isn't open yet. Now, some parties have called this a referendum on HS2, this by-election, notably Reform UK. And this comes as HS2 digging equipment starts creating a tunnel underneath the Chilterns. It's projected to be finished in about 2024. Work is underway, and royal assent is already given to the project. So it's not going to get rolled back. But these new MPs will want to state their case to try and fight for those living along the route, to get any mitigation, to get any, is reparations the right word? But that sort of thing. Obviously, alongside HS2, we have the more standard issues that would be facing anyone in this situation, with residents concerned about local economy on the high street after lockdowns, and the entire fate of the nation as a result of coronavirus. So let's go through these candidates, and I've got them ordered by alphabetical order by surname, just because it makes it easier to go through without seeming like I'm putting the bigger parties first, and see what their priorities might be if they were elected. And we'll start with Caroline Culver of the Green Party. Now, she is the group leader for the Green Party on West Berkshire Council, so not quite in Buckinghamshire, but very close to it. And her background outside of politics, she was involved in charity work and education. And unsurprisingly, the Green Party is phenomenally anti-HS2. She is describing herself as a dedicated anti-HS2 campaigner, and in a quote she said, "We will work tirelessly to protect the communities and environments under threat from HS2. She is the only candidate in this by-election endorsed by the Stop HS2 campaign, and according to her, the Green Party is the only party genuinely committed to stopping the devastating project." So I think we've got her opinion on HS2 there. No dodging of that question. Well, there are other issues the Green Party are fighting on environmentally in this area, because the River Chess and the River Misbourne are under threat from the tunnelling, drinking water supplies as well, and there is a chalk aquifer in and around the area of Chesham and Amersham, which is apparently under threat from some of the tunnelling work being done for HS2. Alongside environment and HS2, her priorities would be to secure real investment in local transport infrastructure, education, the NHS and adult social care. So again, fairly platitudinal statements. And said she would also oppose Conservative planning changes threatening local democracy and the Green Belt. So that's a snippet of what Caroline Culver, or Caroline Culver, I don't know if I'm getting many or any of these names right, even the somewhat easier ones, but that's a snippet of what she would be like as an MP. Fortunately enough, we might be able to discard that particular one, as the Green Party don't look like they're in a position to win this by-election. And even if they do, those policies would very much be trying to be enforced in the same way Caroline Lucas is trying to enforce those policies right now. It's brilliant that we have representation from smaller parties, but in effect the powers of them is so limited, especially as the government has this whopping great majority still. Going down to Brendan Donnelly from the Rejoin EU party. Now, he runs an educational charity, lives in London, but he was a former Conservative MEP and a former diplomat for the UK. And unsurprisingly, he is anti-Brexit. He said that Brexit is broken and it is breaking Britain, and that it is putting at risk the security of the UK and making it poorer and more isolated in the world, saying that businesses are suffering from new red tape, having been promised the contrary. Now, again, we can probably put this one in the circular filing cabinet rather than any actual notice board, this particular candidacy, because Brendan Donnelly, I feel pretty confident in saying, will not be the next MP for Chesham and Amersham. But it's interesting to see this very much single-issue party not really putting too much up. He is anti-HS2 as well, just to say, but this really is, it does seem like screaming at the horse after
Not only the horse was bolted, it's been shot and turned into glue on this particular issue. Let's turn now to the Conservative Party candidate, Peter Fleet, who is a businessman who lives in Chesham and Amersham. He has a bit of a background in elected politics, or rather not elected politics, because he stood in the 1997 general election in Southampton. And he has said that he would, quote, work with Conservative ministers to support local businesses and secure investment for local high streets as we recover from the pandemic, attracting high-quality shops and restaurants. So it's clear what his focus is on. His focus wants to take everything away from the downsides of the Tory government, because, of course, he would do, and move on to how the government can help people moving forward. Also, he says that the priority will be to build new homes on brownfield land and to preserve the green belt for future generations, and also to work with Thames Valley police officers to tackle antisocial behaviour such as dangerous driving and littering. So that's a bit of the non-HS2 stuff from him. He is also not quite as anti-HS2 as Dame Cheryl Gillan, but not exactly pro. Whilst not saying that he would want to stop HS2 or to fight to delay it or move it around, he said he'll be working with residents and community groups to, and I quote here, protect the special character of Chesham and Amersham, including minimising disruption from HS2. So interesting to see if that is a good enough fudge of the policies for him to win the seat. It is still expected that the Conservatives will win this seat, but Liberal Democrats are being quietly confident. We've seen the polls shrink down to about a 4% lead for the Conservatives, as it was quite a big lead. I think it was in the 20% lead for the Conservatives at the 2019 general election. Speaking of the Liberal Democrats, though, Sarah Green is their candidate, and she too has some history in elected, or rather not being elected, for Parliament. She stood twice, once in 2005 for Innes Mon, and in 2010 stood in Arven, which is in Gwynedd in Wales. Both of them Welsh constituencies. She now runs her own business and lives in Chesham and Amersham, and she says she would be, quote, a strong independent voice standing up for local people who have, for far too long, been taken for granted. She called out the Conservative Council for letting roads go to ruin, or the Tories in Westminster who have allowed developers to pave over green spaces. She said she'll be campaigning tirelessly against the new planning law, which is, according to her, set to rip power away from local communities and see the Chilterns' distinctive beauty lost forever. She is also anti-HS2, but does seem rather resigned to the fact that it will be going ahead, and does seek to minimise disruption from the project, and to make sure that the environment and other areas of beauty in the Chilterns and Cheshire and Amersham in particular are not eroded by the infrastructure project. Now, Carla Gregory is representing the Breakthrough Party, and the Breakthrough Party, I am not going to lie, I know next to nothing about. The Breakthrough Party, I really have not heard that name before. So the Breakthrough Party, well, let's have a look and see, because I'm pretty sure they are a new party. And she, I've forgotten the candidate's name now, that's quite bad. Carla Gregory, she works in the charity sector and was, according to her, born and raised in the area, is saying a lot of the same stuff that other candidates have been saying. I actually can't find a single page online for the Breakthrough Party, but let's have a look. Ah, here we are. The Breakthrough Party is a young socialist party aiming to, what does it say here? Led by the younger generation, set to inherit the world in crisis and aiming to avert said crises. Now, she's saying a lot of the same things. She's running in the by-election to be an independent voice because ordinary working people need someone who will fight for them, and I want to show them that the fairer, more equal Chesham and Amersham is possible. Again, anti-HS2, anti-government, things like that. And again, it's another one we can put in the... thanks for coming. Sort of bracket. Another one we can almost certainly put in the thanks for coming, but no thanks bracket is the Freedom Alliance, who are going to be having Adrian Oliver standing in the constituency for the 17th of June. And again, very similar policies. I mean, we're starting to see a trend here. He was a Green councillor in London, Adrian Oliver, previously, and now runs... he's a teacher of Life Alignment Healing in Downley, which is, in the constituency, I believe. He is speaking on many similar issues, but also saying that the government is lying about coronavirus, saying that they are keeping crucial information hidden from us. They're saying that he will oppose vaccine passports, oppose unnecessary vaccines, mask mandates, the closure of businesses and schools, and any future lockdowns. So that's a little taster of the Freedom Alliance, but they will not be getting an MP out of this election. And if they do, well, I think you'll have to choose some suitably gruesome forfeit for me. And I think plenty of other pundits will have to do the same thing. Now, to move on to the Labour Party, who are standing Natasa Pantelić, who is a former primary school teacher. She was a councillor in Slough. She lives in Slough, and she said this by-election is an opportunity for change. She said she's a strong community campaigner and someone who will get things done in Parliament. She wants to give every young person the best start in life as they rebuild from the pandemic. She will work hard for everyone in Chesham and Amersham and will be, quote, a challenging voice on HS2, ensuring all local and environmental concerns are heard by government during the construction phase and into the future. I'll work for better transport infrastructure to fix our roads and get better bus services, end quote. So again, we're looking at a lot of platitudes coming out of the campaigns. You wouldn't expect anything different. I don't know why I've picked on Ms. Pantelić for this particular comment, but it's been the same up and down this list of candidates. Again, it's probably not going to be a Labour seat. It looks like being, a Tory Lib Dem marginal after the end of this election, if we believe the polls, but again, that is a completely different question. And to go on to the final candidate, who is Alex Wilson from Reform UK. He's worked for HS2 Limited. He lives in East London. And he says that whilst on its own this by-election cannot change the government, it can send a strong message to Westminster about when it's got things wrong. And now he says that he's learnt from his time working for HS2. He knows that HS2 is an organisation with scant regard for taxpayers' money and a project with minimal benefit for the country as a whole. Alongside HS2, or being anti-HS2, he says the Reform UK is also committed to campaigning to get our country back to normal and not the, quote, new normal, with every one of our freedoms restored. And he is categorically against a lockdown, saying it's been catastrophic for our economy and society and it must never, ever happen again. And again, that is another candidate who I think we can safely file in the shredder for this election. So, those are the candidates. What's going to happen? Well, people are going to go to the polls on the 17th of June. Polls open from 7 till 10, as with normal elections. This by-election run on the same standards, because it is, of course, an election for the UK Parliament. And we'll have to wait and see. It looks like being a close race between the Conservative Party and the Liberal Democrats. It would be interesting to see what would happen. I think the Liberal Democrats might not get their head through the door if they win this by-election, given how far back they started from. But it would not be particularly surprising, given the amount of hard work and resources they have put into this campaign, if they were to cause a bit of an upset and unseat, or rather take out a brick of the blue wall. So it'll be one to look out for, and I'm sure the media coverage would ramp up if the Liberal Democrats were to win this seat. If it goes to the Conservatives, expect it to just be a story on the end of a news bulletin. If the Liberal Democrats win, then you'll hear a bit more from Chesham and Amersham. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today on the Politics Unboxed podcast. I want to thank you very much for listening. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode. If you did, feel free to give us a rating, or if you can, on the app where you're getting these podcasts. Any feedback is more than appreciated. You can get in touch through our Instagram page at politics.unboxed. Facebook is Politics Unboxed, and our Twitter is at PoliticsU, and that is the letter U. You can get in touch via email as well, which is politics.unboxed@outlook.com, and our website is www.politicsunboxedpodcast.wordpress.com. Where you can find all things Politics Unboxed, including all the episodes of all the different series of podcasts we've put out, and blog posts from updates on news stories. I've got one out recently about the delay of lockdown restrictions ending. Please do go and check it out if you think you'd be interested. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I hope to see you all around again soon for the next episode of the podcast. And until then, goodbye.